everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP. As always, joining me, the tenacious one who's growing out his hair, Nick Martin.
That's why I'm wearing a hat, JP, because it looks like crap.
Oh, I thought you were supporting
like a freaking chia pet.
I thought you were supporting our sponsor.
Well, I'm doing that too, but yeah, hiding the chia pet that I got going on here.
good to see you as always, brother. Joining us today is an amazing musician, and of course, he's a dad, which is, you know, a prerequisite for being on this show. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Dan Rodriguez. How are you, man?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, buddy. So first of all, let me give you a little rundown on what Dadcast is all about and what we can expect here over the next hour. First of all, obviously, we try to stay all things dad, but occasionally we go off the rails on our episodes. And by occasionally, I mean every single one. So we'll talk dad, and then, you know, we'll get into the life of you and, of course, us and how things relate. And, you know, we'll see where the hour takes us, man. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Right on. All right. First question. It is a prerequisite. I'm pretty sure I already know the answer, but we do it anyway. Dan, are you a dad?
I'm a dad.
All right. How many kids you got, man? Ages, names, what do they do? Talk to us.
There's two that I know of. Their names are Oak and Alder, and they're 5 and 2. And they really love music, and they really love each other, and they really love outside. They're very outdoors kids, and so that's really good. And so I'm a dad, and those are my two little biscuits.
Oak and Alder, are they both boys?
Two little boys, yeah.
That is, I'm going to lie, you now hold the award for most unique names for children we've had of dads on Dadcast. Oak and Alder, yeah. Is it spelled O-A-K?
Yeah, like the trees.
That's awesome. I really, really like that name. Both of them. Yeah.
I mean, they're both strong names, and they're both...
Come here, Oak. Both, rah, you know, it's...
That are native to Minnesota here, too, so...
Ah, so that leads another question. You're in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, I live in Minneapolis. What's outside your window right there? Is that one of those really cool Zoom backdrops, or do you live?
We're in my $1 million beach house right now, where the ocean doesn't move and the pedestrian stays completely still for the entire hour.
I dig it. I'm in my humble house in the suburbs, so there's that. Where's home for you guys again?
Southern Oregon. I'm in Medford. He's in Grants Pass. We're just a few miles north of the California border, basically on the I-5 here.
I got to get out that way again. I miss Oregon.
Yeah, you do. You got to play some shows, man. The world is opening up somewhat. No,
we were scheduled to play at some place. I forget what it was called. The White Eagle Saloon in Portland.
Okay.
Is that a place? I don't know.
Portland is super far north from where we're at. I mean, Portland is about as far away as you can get in Oregon from where we're at. And if you watched any of our episodes in the past, you know that while Portland is very eclectic and an awesome town, it's still Portland and you. It's.
I live in Minneapolis, which is just the Midwestern version of Portland.
Right. Okay. Well, but, you know, it's the politics, which we won't get into, that is real, real very, it's diverse, we'll put it that way. And by diverse, I mean not. I mean, that little tiny hole of Portland is the most of the population of Oregon, and they speak for the rest of Oregon, but they don't, if you catch my drift.
Yeah. Well, at least I know to say Oregon and not Oregon.
Right. I can't tell you how many times I correct people. Like, I'll be watching, you know, a sports team and they're talking about that player. He came from Oregon. It's like, oh, not Oregon. And anywho. So Oak and Alder, I still can't get over how awesome those names are. You said they're into music. Do they are they of the age yet? I know the 2-year-old, no way, but is the 5-year-old realize that dad is a rock star? And
my 5-year-old is a rock star. He's been on stage in front of thousands of people playing with me. We got him his little guitars, and he had his little kid guitar, and he came up, and then he was 3 years old. He was on stage in front of 8,000 people when we opened for OAR in Milwaukee, and he's just. Nice. I got a photo of us on stage with a huge crowd right in front, and it's a picture from behind, and it's me and him on stage just rocking out. And it's one of my favorite pictures.
Exactly. I've got a picture. It's right up there. We can't show it, But you know what? I can actually grab it. I'm going to get it in a minute. But it's basically, you know, I've worked in radio for, gosh, 20 years of my life. I still do it. And part of that job is obviously, as you know, introducing bands when they're sponsored by our particular radio station or whatever at a show. So many, many times I go on stage and introduce the band that's coming up in front of thousands of people. And same thing. I got a picture that someone sent to me. My boy was about a year and a half, 2 years old. It's the first time I ever brought him on stage with me. And yeah. Again, one of my favorite pictures of all time. And he swears he remembers it happening. I'm like, I'm not so sure about that, kid. But yeah, man, isn't it great how your perspective changes? That just that is it's a beautiful thing, man.
It's the best.
All right, Nick. Yep. What are you doing over there, buddy?
I'm just listening right now. All your great stories. just, you know, kind of the same lines. It's awesome. I'm a concert promoter on the side. So bringing the kids to the shows and having them come out, meet the bands and get out in front of thousands of people and introduce the bands. It's freaking awesome. It's so much cooler doing it with them than, you know, just being there by myself. So yeah, it's way more cool to
bring them out
and experience.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you.
Oh, you're good, man.
Zoom, man. It's difficult.
I know. But Oak was a green room baby for sure. I mean, he was just from the day he was born, he was just surrounded by music. I mean, we had both of our babies at home, and on that first week, my wife stayed upstairs. She didn't come downstairs. I prepped every meal and we had meals upstairs, and we just kind of had her kind of on this wonderful, beautiful time where we were just, it's just kind of just our little family. And, but every day I'd bring him downstairs and I'd put a new record on and we'd listen to a new record. And I was like, all right, look, I know you're 3 days old, but this record's called Abbey Road and it's really, really great. And you need to know it. And so like, we got a lot of catching up to do right now. So we're going to get to introduce you to all this stuff, but man, that kid lives and breathes music. And he's, you know, my wife sings with me sometimes. And so there's photos of us on stage together and she's got the baby in the baby wrap and right. She's on stage singing with me. And so that's how Oak grew up. And he is just a rock star on stage. And my 2-year-old is not, but most of his life, he hasn't seen us play shows because he's only two. And this whole last year, over a year right. has been good. So it's different. It's different because it's not ingrained in him in the same way because he's not around it all the time. And so hopefully when things continue to get back to normal and he starts to see it more, he adjusts back to it. But yeah, it's a fun dynamic watching those two together and just seeing the differences and just specifically with music stuff. But they both have little Lug guitars, if you're not familiar. They're great guitars for kids, and so they just strum and play and they write songs and sing in the living room all day long. And we actually had have you ever heard of the band the Okie Dokie Brothers?
I can't say that I have.
Every dad, especially with young kids, should know about the Okie Dokie Brothers. Now, they won a Grammy for like best kids album a few years back, and these guys are amazing. And Joe is one of my friends, and they came over for dinner last night, and it was for the first time. And I said to Oak, I said, "How what's it like having having your music hero come over for dinner tonight? Are you really excited about that?" And he goes, "Well." And I said, well, and he goes, well, yeah, but he's not my music hero. And I said, well, who is? And he goes, well, you are, Daddy.
That's awesome.
How is that? Just gave me the heebie-jeebies,
that's
man.
That's
right.
A huge win right there.
I said, well, you listen to him every day. And he goes, well, almost every day, but I listen to your songs every day.
That is awesome. Were your parents, musicians into music? I mean, because a lot of people talk about how you're born into it or it just comes naturally. When did you know that that's what you wanted to do and that you had a talent obviously for it?
Oh, that's too. Yeah. So to answer all those questions, we grew up, I was a family with six kids and we were homeschooled and we're in a spot where like my folks didn't really play music, but they told us, you know, like we could pick an instrument, but we all had to take some sort of music lesson as part of our homeschooling curriculum. And so I did. And so I took voice lessons at violin lessons first when I was like 7 years old, 6, 7 years old. And then, I shifted from that. I took voice lessons starting at 9, which is really young for taking voice lessons, but I'm so grateful for it because it's gotten to me to where I'm at today. I picked up drums when I was 11. I was like, I really want drums. And I weeded gardens and I mowed lawns and I did everything I could in the neighborhood. I put a little ad in the paper, the neighborhood paper, to, you know, and I was like, if you name it and I'll do it, I'll pull your weeds and I'll do this stuff. But, and I took all that money and I bought my first drum kit and at the end of the summer. And so my poor parents, but they let me have a drum kit. but yeah, it was incredible. And so then I started taking drum lessons from a guy at our church that was teaching me drum lessons and moved on to somebody else. And then I picked up my first guitar at 15. And that's when I knew I found the one instrument that really spoke to me. So that was great.
Oh, very cool,
man. If you get to work, maybe have 1, 2, 3 more kids. You got your own band right there, man. Just saying.
Hey, I'm all about, like, right now we're, you know, it's a quartet and that's a great band. Right. You can get one of those vans with two captain seats, a driver's seat and passenger seat, and then the back can fit all of our stuff, you know.
Yeah, there you have it. And just pop a GoPro up on that windshield there. You can be the next YouTube sensation, the musical Rodriguez family.
All right, so going back to your question, because I love answering this question, the moment that I knew this is what I wanted to do, 3 years after I picked up my first guitar, I graduated high school. But before that, I graduated in 2004. And the song that was like our class song was John Mayer's No Such Thing. Okay. He's like, I want to run through the halls of my high school. I want to scream at the top of my lungs. So I auditioned to sing that song. And I had gone to this high school, and it's this huge high school. I graduated like 750 kids in my class in Clarkston High School in Michigan. And, but I auditioned to sing the class song and they picked me to sing it. And so I'm the new guy. I only went there junior and senior year, and I show up and I'm there and I'm picking out a guitar and I learned the song and I practiced it really hard and I made sure I really got it all down. But because I graduated with so many kids, there were thousands of people at this place, and they held it at Pine Knob Music Theater, which is the giant amphitheater. It's where it's like 10 minutes from Kid Rock's house. But like, that's where like John Mayer would play when he would come into town. And like, that's where I got to see the Roots play and some really, really great bands. And, I got to stand on that stage and sing a song in front of thousands of people at 18 years old. And I remember walking, it was the day I graduated. And that was the moment I went, oh, I'm going to chase that moment for the rest of my life.
There
and
it is.
That's awesome.
That was the moment I went, oh, whatever it takes, I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. So that's good.
And look at you, man. 15 years later, you're still doing it.
Yeah.
17 years later.
Close this door. 1 sec.
All right. Take your time, man. Bring the kids in here. It's all good. So I'm going to ask you a question for later, and no pressure whatsoever. Usually Nick is the one who asks this question.
Are you stealing it from me?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead. I can't steal it from you. You ask one question a show. I can't steal it.
I know,
from
right? You. My only question. Can you play us a song
at some point?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll play
for two. We'll go for two.
Oh yes.
Man. We got 40 minutes left. You just want to do a concert? No, I'm just kidding. We going to
play you one right now.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
We can do one in a little while. I wasn't sure if I would be doing this. I should have tuned this up, but let's see.
So this.
That's a little wonky. Let's try this other one. I have my favorites. These are my favorites.
I'm gonna give him props for being the most prepared musician we've had on the show too.
All right, so I'm gonna rip your heart out. Are you ready?
All right,
I'll do it.
I hope it's in a good way, like, you know, happy tears.
Yeah, 100%. So I wrote this song because in 2019 I did 138 shows out of town, and that didn't include all the travel days, and so I was gone a lot. And we had a new baby, and I didn't get to really see a whole lot of him growing up in that time because I was in and out of town so much. And I was on an airplane. I'd been gone for almost a full month, and I hadn't been home. And when your kids are that little, my goodness, they change so fast. And, you know, I was on an airplane. I was flying home for the first time, and I was thinking about how whenever I'm gone for even 3-4 weeks, I come home and they're taller. There's less baby fat on their faces, and they just look like more like boys than babies. And they're saying more things and doing more things. And every time it makes me realize how much I've missed out on. Now, I got to see both of their first steps, but that wasn't even a guarantee because of how much I was traveling. And so it was kind of like, okay, what's going to be different now? What did I miss out on when I was gone? And I'm on this airplane and I started to cry thinking about that, and which is inappropriate to do on an airplane. And I look over to the guy next to me, and there's a seat in between us and then this dude. And thankfully for him, he was asleep. Because if I was on an airplane and sitting next to a dude and he just started crying,
right,
please move seats. Get me out of here. The only seat available is next to a crying baby. I would rather do that. Please, can we do that? A grown man crying, I don't want to sit next to him.
There's an emotionally unstable guy right here. This is a scary. Yeah, I get it.
But so I was like, oh, thank goodness he's asleep. And I'm just like trying to hold it all back. And I had this song idea that had been bubbling up for quite a while. And it all came to a head on this Delta flight. And so you can't pull out your guitar and write a song, but I had to write a song. I had to get this song out. And it was happening so fast. And usually it can take several hours for me to finish a song, to write a song from top to bottom. And with all the edits and all the things I want to do, this song, I wrote this faster than I've written most songs. I probably wrote it in 20 minutes. I couldn't play. I just sang a melody in my head and I typed out the lyrics as fast as I could on my phone. And I got home and I had been gone for a month. And one of the first things I said, I was like, hey, I got to show you a song. And my wife is, bless her, she's so sweet. She goes, right now? just got home. And I was like, yeah, I need to know what this sounds like. And she was like, what? And so I explained that to her. And I sat in the kitchen, I pulled my guitar out and I played the song. And we both just cried in the kitchen about it. But this is my love letter to my kids, because my fear is that when I'm gone that much and being gone so much, I don't want them to resent me for just being gone all the time. And that's one of my biggest fears with this whole thing. And my hope, one of my biggest hopes, is that they'll see dad, following his dreams and following his heart and doing what he feels he's called to do. And that can be an example for them to do the same in their own lives.
That's pickle, isn't it?
So it's a weird balance
for all of us. Yeah.
At the same time, I am gone. And so I'm choosing to be gone, and that's hard. So, I wrote them an open letter in the form of a song to my kids, and it goes like this. By the way, I have friends who are, I have like one friend specifically, he had a baby and then, he got deployed. He's a pilot in the Air Force and got deployed right after his baby was born. And he missed that whole first year completely.
Yeah,
and so I go for 3-4 weeks at a time and I complain about that, but yeah, it's nothing compared to the folks that are sacrificing that part of their lives for doing that job. And so anybody listening out there, if that's you, this song is out to you. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I've been away for far too long, carrying my songs across the land and sea. Can you forgive me? 'Cause right now I can't forgive myself for choosing something else over you and me. Well, people say it must be hard, but they don't really know how it feels to come back home and see how much you've grown. And although this is our normal and it's the only life you've known, I'm so tired of being daddy through the phone. Mama told me that you've been raising up some hell, that you haven't been yourself, and you've been crossing lines. And I'm just hoping got me chasing down my dreams, isn't changing everything and taking from your life. Well, people say it must be hard, but they don't really know how it feels to come back home and see how much you've grown. And although this is our normal and it's the only life you've known, I'm so tired of being daddy through the phone. And now I'm hiding, shade down in the window seat, and I'm trying not to fall apart, 'cause honestly, you know I never walk away from you, but till the heavens call on me, I have to say, I have to say. People say it must be hard, but they don't really know how it feels to come back home and see how much you've grown. And although this is our normal and it's the only life you've known, I'm so tired and I'm sorry. I'm so tired and I'm sorry that I'm daddy through the phone.
Whew. Powerful and emotional. You ain't kidding.
I wasn't messing with you.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Dan, can I just say I'm glad you stepped on that stage when you were 18 graduating and decided that's what you wanted to do, man.
Me too.
Cause
me too. It's not, any other life sounds boring compared to what I've been able to do. So this has been great.
Daddy through the phone. Yeah, mm-hmm. You put some perspective on that. You know, I do it all the time, but that's literally at the grocery store. When you think about, you know, you're gone miles and miles and miles away and weeks from being there. And like you said, you know, our veterans do it for years, months on end. Nick and I went to Vegas a few weeks back. He brought one of his kids. I brought one of my kids, but there was still a couple at home. And it was 3 days and I was dying. You know, I literally got in the car and as we're driving away, I'm already missing them. It's brutal, man. It's mm-hmm. especially for the good fathers out there. You know, that's, you know, there's men, and I don't understand those men who walk away and don't do it. I can't even imagine such a thing because how important they are. And whew, I'm emotional. You ain't kidding. I'm just trying to talk my way through it, man.
All right. So I'd like to think I'm a good father, but I don't think I'll ever bring the baby to Vegas again.
I was like, oh wow, was it like an adult child or like an older child? But
no, he's a 10-month-old baby. It's not only was it hard, it was scary. There's so many people, and like this kid doesn't sleep, so we had to like take him for walks on the strip, and there's like thousands and thousands of people. I'm like, oh my god, somebody's gonna take him. He's cute.
My goodness. I learned a while back. Actually, mostly I learned the hardest lesson on the top of 2020 before the world imploded, that not to bring my children on the road too often when they're that young. So,
yeah, I tried to tell them. I did.
I mean, yeah. We played at the 30A Songwriter Festival down in Florida. And the year prior, I had been there and they set us up. They set me up. I was by myself. They set me up in this beautiful condo right next to the beach. And I said to my wife, if we do this next year, we should do it as a family vacation. So the next year it booked and I said, let's go, you know, we'll spend the mornings on the beach and I'll go play shows in the late afternoon and into the evening. And then, we'll do like a working vacation. We'll do the whole family thing. Well, turns out when it's January in Minnesota, it's also January in Florida. So it was about 35 degrees and raining. And, so we didn't really do the beach thing, but, at least our youngest was teething, so we also did very well.
Whereabouts in Florida was that, Dan?
It's on 30A, so it's that strip like between like Destin and Panama City Beach.
Okay, yeah, super north.
Yeah, so it's actually where Seaside is kind of the heart of it, the center of it. That's like where they filmed the Truman Show. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So my lady and I, we go to Florida for the last 4 years running now, Valentine's Day. So we're talking February, and I'm like, you know, it's 85 degrees where we go, but yeah, way north, it's yeah.
If you get down where that Gulf Stream is, it's wild. I mean, I did that in January. I played down in Jacksonville, and it was about 40 degrees,
right?
And 2.5 hours south, and it was 80 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
That Gulf Stream, and there's something that changes, and all of a sudden there's wild parrots flying in the trees.
Yeah, iguanas falling out of the trees, hitting your head.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna stay down here. This feels real nice.
I know, I say that every single time, but then again, I miss my kids. And so I think we just need to bring them with us, like you said.
Yep, and you also, the other downfall is you have to deal with Floridians.
Yeah, and the drivers, have you noticed? I don't care where you are in Florida, and I come from California and the L.A. streets, man, where I've never seen worse drivers, and not courteous as well. I mean, they're just jerks. Sorry to everyone in Florida, but you all need to figure out how to drive, all right?
I mean, I don't know how to broad strokes paint everybody, but I would say that has been my experience.
No, I will broad stroke it, okay? You can take it from me. I have yet to see a courteous driver. But thanks for being polite, you know? Yeah. So let me ask you, I threw it off topic. Oh, yes. There was a rumor when we booked you that Nick told me about that you may be dropping a new single and that we would be maybe able to put that video out when this video releases. Is that any truth to that?
Yeah, there is some truth to that. Now, the single dropped on Friday, but the video drops this Friday.
Okay.
The official premiere is happening on American Songwriter, but the pre-premiere is happening with you guys.
Sweet. Awesome. And so that video is going to be released through our venue here Friday, you say? So this coming Friday. That means I have work to do. And because of the absolute incredibly amazing technology and the magic of video editing, we're going to play that right now.
Boom.
And there you have it. Wasn't that awesome?
What did you think about the part where I got away from the cop?
Oh, yes. It was. We're going to make this work. Trust me.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah, but we're going to, you know, so yeah, it's funny. If you're everyone watching this video now, you know, 30 seconds later, or maybe a year from now, we didn't have the video yet when we recorded this, and it came in post. It's good stuff. I love that.
We just watched it.
The magic of editing. Right. Maybe I'll put it again at the end too, just to make so we can actually. No, we still can't talk about it because I haven't seen it. Oh, this is awkward, Nick.
Well, you know, this is the pickle you put yourself in.
Speaking of which, you know, we spoke about the pandemic and the last year and a half, basically, of no touring, no music, no anything. That, I would think, in your case, was a blessing in disguise, as far as when it comes to the family.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
I feel weird, and I was having this conversation with a friend just the other day, because I feel like so many people that I talk to and that I've talked to for months and months leading all the way back towards the full lockdowns and where everybody was locked down, man, so many people, when you talk to them, even at the grocery store, you run into somebody at the, you know, wherever you end up going, and then, you know, hey, how's it going? And then it's, oh, you know, it's going okay, getting through. But I felt awkward, kind of a little bit awkward this whole time, because when everybody asks me, I'm just honest with them and I go, I'm so good.
Yeah,
I'm so good. And man, I'll tell you right now, like, my wife's a stay-at-home mom. The only income has been me touring for years. And so when it all went away, it was very, very scary. And there was a moment in time that lasted a few months that I don't think I've ever been that stressed out before in my life. And it was frightening and it was worrisome. And I'm not like a big famous dude where I have money stored away where we can get by for and just not work for that many months. I just wasn't able to do that. But I, you know, we had fans that supported, and it's grown enough where we were really taken care of by people supporting on live streams. And
right.
I, you know, I did some video things and put it out and charged tickets for it. And, you know, people bought merchandise all over my website like crazy. And people were just really, really supportive. And then being able to do private backyard concerts in the fall. And that was a big thing for us. And that got us through. And we did holiday Zoom concerts. My wife and I sang together on them. And we did a bunch of them in December. And so we did everything we could to get through, but it was because of all of the people that have been following the music and wanted to be supportive. It's because of those folks that we were able to do that and get through, because boy, was it like, it got dark there for a second.
Oh, I bet. But, you know, especially for musicians and restaurant owners, those are the two classify those two. And it's, I can only imagine, you know, I was thankfully blessed with I've got 4 jobs. And each of them I was still able to do, during the pandemic. In fact, it made my jobs easier because I could sit at home and do them.
Yeah. Yeah. But so to answer your question and go back to aside from that, few months where I was here at the studio working way overtime and late nights, trying to figure out and come up with ways to pivot and change and shift and do things. Aside from those really chaotic first few months where everything was uncertain and there were a lot of tears, after that, and even through some of that, it was just amazing to be home and to be present and be with my children every single day and make breakfast every morning and tuck them in every night and
pancakes.
Not having that for years, and then not having that since becoming a dad, I've never really had that much time. I've never been home for a full month. So it's just wild to be able to look back at this last year and think about, wow, you know, the trade-off I was talking about, my youngest hasn't really been on stage much because he hasn't really seen it, but he's also never seen me gone that much. And so that's going to be a harder transition now that we're going back into shows.
Right. That was
this snippet in time, this moment that we've had this last year has really been, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that we got through it, and I'm so grateful how we got through it. And that I got to spend that much time with my family. It was really, really wonderful, especially because he's so little and that goes so fast when they're that little. And so to be home for this last year has been so much fun.
Do you find yourself now almost pre-regret that now you're touring and now you got to pivot once again?
I mean, no, it's the anticipation has been building for so long, and I'm just so excited to get back out there and be playing more shows. We just announced my first actual real tour.
And what is that? Where's the first show? Talk to us about that.
There's a whole bunch of shows. It's across the East Coast. I'll pull it up right now. I'm doing just East Coast right now. We're working on rescheduling the West Coast side. Cause all of this 2020, I was supposed to do April and May. I was going to be gone both months.
Right.
I was going to come for 8 days in between. And then, I was going to be gone for the whole month each time. And doing a full US tour. And so trying to reschedule that and redo all of that has been, I haven't done it. Agent Sarah has been doing it and she's amazing. And so, but we had to kind of shift things around, but we were able to do one half of that, which is my run that we're doing in September. Now I called the tour the God Willing and the Cases Don't Rise tour.
And that's fantastic.
And the first show starts in North Carolina on September 11th and then it goes through the 26th. So lots of different places all the way up through Boston and New York and DC and the Carolinas and Michigan and Ohio and Wisconsin and Illinois. And so kind of going all the way over through there. So,
wow. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah. I'm stoked about it. Real venues. Some of the shows are full band shows, which is
right.
I haven't played band show in a year and a half, so I'm very excited to do that.
We spoke with Mark Farner, who is the frontman, formerly the main frontman for Grand Funk Railroad, last week, and same thing. He's been sitting, you know, the last year and a half doing Zoom shows, and he's got a little tour set up. And I mean, this guy's pushing 70, if my math is right, and he's still just. For you guys, for what you do, that is life. That's the blood that flows through your body, man. It's performing and doing your thing, and now you get to do it again. And as the guy who sits on the other side and enjoys I can't wait, man. this summer, finally, we're going to get something, right, Nick?
Yes.
Yeah, come on now.
Something this summer too. That's going to be awesome.
I miss hugs and live music.
Right. I was trying to figure out what that said. I misinterpreted the beginning. I'm like, does that say I miss drugs and live music? But
I don't miss drugs. I don't can't miss what you already have, but no, don't do drugs. Don't do drugs. Yeah, marijuana is medicine, but don't do drugs.
Yeah, drugs are bad. Okay.
But yeah, so marijuana is medicine. I had a friend of mine worked at a venue in Milwaukee, and there was an artist that came through from out of Nashville, and the guy came up to him and said, "Hey, man, you got any drugs?" And before he answered that question, I just want you to know, marijuana is medicine. You have drugs. Right.
So he wasn't looking for the weed.
That story makes me crack up every time.
Well, that leads into, this is a Nick question, a typical Nick question here. Can you tell us, A, and this is subjected, but who is the biggest artist you have ever shared the stage with or opened for? And B, Nick's favorite question, tell us a funny story about that.
Great question. There's some folks that I've been able to be on stage with and sing with that have been not necessarily huge and influential for me, but they are in their own circles and in their own ways. And then other folks who it was just really cool to be there and do that. So over the years, I've just had a chance to play with some really, really great folks, but and with a variety of different genres too, surprisingly enough. Boy, the biggest, I don't know. I mean, probably the most well-known name, at least in the pop world. I shared the stage with Andy Grammer. I opened up for him when he came through town a while back.
Nick knows Andy personally.
I do.
And here's a funny story about that. So years before, Andy and I had played together. We shared the stage where I sang song. There's a handful of us that were all on stage together down in Milwaukee. And we were at Summerfest and we played the same stage together and we ended up doing a bunch of songs. We were all hanging out, playing together. And it was myself and Andy and Ron Pope and Ari Herstand and a handful of us. And then, I don't know, 8 years later or something, 7, 8 years later, Andy's songs blow up and he becomes this huge pop sensation and comes to Minneapolis. And the promoter reached out to me and said, "Do you want to open up?" I said, "I'd love to." And so we get in there and I'm like, man, I haven't seen him in forever. We didn't really stay in touch, but we all hung out that weekend. We all stayed at the same place that weekend. So like, you know, that'll be a great connection. And so I walked in and I was like, "Hey man, how's it going?" And he's like, "Hey, I'm Andy."
Oh no.
Now, you know, you meet a million people and I'm sure I've done that to so many people as well, where I'm like, "Hey, you, how's it going?"
Did he realize afterwards that?
No. And I wasn't going to be the dude that's like, "Dude, we hung out for like a weekend and you forgot."
Yeah,
like,
right.
Clearly I wasn't memorable enough and that's on me. But that to me, that was a funny moment.
Those are always awkward though. Hey, man.
One of the coolest artists I got to play for or play open up for was I was on the road. I was in Michigan and I just worked out to play the same venue and do the same show as the Civil Wars. And
that's awesome.
They were incredible and nobody knew who they were. And we played in this club for like 100 people. And then I think 2 or 3 weeks later, their song hit and it just blew up. And so I was able to kind of stay in touch a little bit with John Paul White and we were on social media. We became Facebook buddies and we exchanged phone numbers and such. I didn't really call him. I had no reason to, you know, what am I going to do? I'd be like, "Hey, I remember when I opened for you and you didn't know who I was and I didn't know who you were. And your song blew up and now we're friends." But they came through Minneapolis and I did reach out when they were coming through and we went to the show and said hi and we hung out with them for a little bit. But I hadn't seen him in so long. And then a couple years ago in 2019, I was down in, I was at Americana Fest down in Nashville and I was going to see some friends of mine play in a band. They're from Minneapolis, but they're in a band called Cactus Blossoms. And there's the Minneapolis dudes and their brother, one of the brothers in the band is a good friend of mine. And so I went down there and I went to go see them and they were open. I didn't even know who was playing, who else was playing, but they're standing there. And then I saw on the list that John Paul White was going to be playing his, you know, a solo show right after them. And I was like, oh, they're opening for John. And so I go back in the green room with them afterwards and we're hanging out and John's sitting back there. And I was like, hey man, how's it going? He goes, hey Rodriguez, how are you? And that for me was one of those moments where I was like, you know what? He meets a million people, but and I was like, oh, I'm great, man. And I'm still living in Minneapolis. And he was like, I know, I checked in on you and on social media and stuff. I was like, oh, all right. Well, that's cool. You know, he can meet a million people and he's playing the Opry. He's playing the Ryman. He's doing all these really cool things. And then he remembered little old me. That was nice.
Oh, that's yeah. Good stuff. But the picture of the fact that your son is your musical hero, still better. Right?
You are dad.
God bless you.
I've been fishing this morning and because I've been in and out of town every weekend right now. I'm playing these house concerts out of town. And so I have, you know, some days I'm coming home on these weekends. I'm out. I come home on Monday and like I got home Monday and I'm leaving Thursday. And so I'm just home for these little snippets and I'm playing all these backyard house concerts. And he is breaking my heart because he's going, no, when, how long are you here? How many nights? I don't know, 3 nights. Oh, for 3 more nights. Oh, and I said, well, what do you want to do? We have some time. What do you want to do? And he said, I want to spend time just me and you. And so we went fishing this morning. So he was catching sunnies and crappies off the dock, and we just had a great time.
That's you need a picture of that, someone to come with you. Sitting on the dock with your boy fishing.
I know. I've got a great photo of him from when we went before, but here, I'll see if I can hold this one up to the camera because this one is from today. I don't know. You probably can't see it.
There it is. Looking good. Look at that guy.
He's got his John Deere hat on.
Oh, so this is my way of asking the lamest question that you always get anytime any musician ever goes anywhere for an interview, but this is my spin on it. I need to think. I mean, the question is, what is the question you get asked most anytime you do an interview as a musician?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. That's a really funny question.
Because it's the question I want to ask you, which is I'm expecting the answer to be. So we'll see.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I mean, in general, then it would be like, who are your biggest musical influences?
Bing! And nail on head. See?
My answer to that is different than I think a lot of people's because of how I grew up. So we were homeschooled, like I mentioned earlier, but we were homeschooled for what I would say, sorry, Mom, if you end up listening to this, are the wrong reasons. We were homeschooled because we grew up in a very, like, things are not this way in our, like in our family anymore. But at the time, it was just like, it was very separatist perspective on the world. And we were homeschooled so that we didn't learn about things like evolution or sex. And so it was less about, I think they can give them a better education at home and more about, I think we need to keep them out of public schools so that they don't become very sinful kids who run away from God, that kind of a thing.
Right.
So yeah, the perspective was just, it was just different. And so what, one of the byproducts of that, one of the things that went along with that homeschooling curriculum based on very legalistic and dogmatic Christian values for me was one of the byproducts of it was we weren't allowed to listen to music that wasn't about Jesus. And even beyond that, there was a Christian band called DC Talk and they were playing rock and roll and it was like rock and roll for the first time, you know, and I'm listening to that. And I got in trouble for listening to that because it was too, I'm like, well, this is Christian music. And it doesn't sound like Christian music. And, and I was still, I mean, I was probably 12 when that conversation happened. And so those are very formative years that are very important to me now with my kids where I go like, oh man, those years leading up my son, I'm like, I can't do that to my kids. So my 5-year-old, what he asked for his birthday was AC/DC on vinyl. So you ask him what's his favorite AC/DC song? And he'd probably sit right here. He'd be like, Hell's Bells.
Can you imagine if that was you in your situation growing up, right? It never happened.
never would. But because, so because of that, though, my answer is different, because right as an adult, I'm going through listening to records that I should have listened to as a kid and I should have been introduced to at a younger age, but I'm going back and listening to it. Now, around that same time that I was listening to DC Talk and getting in trouble, there was also the pastor's kid at my church. He played drums and he was like, you need to listen to good music. And so he made me, I got a Walkman. It was the one that was my first one, like the CD Walkman.
Yep.
And it didn't even have like the anti-skip thing. So if you tapped it once, it just skipped it. But it was that. And I'd upgraded from the cassette one and it was really exciting. And he burned me a CD and he said, let me know what you, there were no names on any of it. He just sent, gave me a blank CD because I told him, I was like, I can't, I'll get in trouble if it says like anything on it. He's like, it's just a blank CD then. So he goes, tell me what tracks you like and I'll burn you more of that. And that had everything from like Queen and AC/DC and David Bowie and Beastie Boys and like all this really fun, cool stuff. And so I just kind of got to diving into some of that early on. And one of the first songs I ended up learning on guitar was Space Oddity, which was so. And he also introduced me to Jeff Buckley's Grace album. And that one was a life changer. That one was a big game changer for me. So that was a great record.
No, how old were you when you were able to listen to whatever you wanted without any repercussion?
15.
Okay. 15 years, 14, and 15, 15. And what did you gravitate towards then?
Well, at that time, then it was what a lot of my friends were listening to. And I'll just, it's one of my guilty pleasures even today.
Oh, okay.
Man, I don't even know if I should say this.
If it's Backstreet Boys or NSYNC.
No, it was Blink 182.
Oh, same that's thing. Awesome, man. I love Blink. Come on.
Right there.
There it is. There it is. Yes. Okay. All right. I'm with the good people. All right. So, but yeah. And so, you know, for me, I was like, oh, I was listening to a bunch of that stuff. And then I got into that, all the bubblegum punk stuff for a while. But I always went back to when I was 16. I heard my first John Mayer song. And I was like, what is this? This is cool. What is this? And I'm not talking about bubblegum John Mayer, you know, your body is a wonderland. I'm talking about, it's like ripping blues guitar solos, the dude that can go on tour with Grateful Dead and just rip guitar the whole time. I mean, so for me, I was like, I want to be that guy. I want to be the dude with the guitar singing songs and making all the girls fall over, you know, all over him, and want to be that guy. That's the guy I want to be. And so, you know, I never had the all the girls falling over me part, but.
Well, you got the one though, right? And that's all that really matters.
I got the one that matters. That's great.
Have you ever been mistaken for Russell Brand?
Actually, I was in the LA airport. And
really?
I was at an LA airport bar. And I was taking the red eye, and I guess technically it's not the red eye, but it was like a midnight flight out because it was coming to Minnesota, not New York. But I'm sitting at the bar and this dude comes over to me and I'm drinking and I'm looking at my phone, and he comes over and comes kind of behind me and he goes, hey, slams his hands down on the bar. Hey. And I turn and he startled me completely. This is like, you know, it's 11 o'clock in a hotel or in an airport. And like, my flight's not for an hour. It's like the middle of the night, essentially. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And he goes, oh, I thought you were Russell Brown. And I said, do you mean Russell Brand? And he goes, whatever. And they, he was like annoyed that
right.
I was a person whose name he didn't even know. but I get that a lot. So people, I get like, I'll get Russell Brand. I used to get Jack Black a lot, and then I lost 60 pounds. And then I stopped getting that. And I started getting Russell Brand or Jack Sparrow. And
which is a fictional character.
Lately it's been Jason Momoa, which is
taken huge,
because that dude is he's a very good looking man, so I will happily accept looking like him.
Yeah. How did you lose 60 pounds?
I counted my calories and I cut back on beers.
See, Nick, what I know, we tend to sometimes get to this topic all the time, and he's a workout machine. I don't know if you could tell, but he's a big boy, and yeah. I'm a pretty big boy too. But
I got a big old belly, man, and I don't drink.
Been a 5 a.m. dedication at the gym, buddy.
I don't drink, so, you know, the cutting back of the beers part, I can't apply that to myself. It's just a matter of eating better and exercising, man.
It really is, and everybody is different. Like, and not everybody is different. That's true, but everybody is different. And well, at least what I learned for myself was it literally just comes down to calories. And so, and I learned very quickly that you can have one slice of pizza, and that, you know, you're going to still be hungry, and those are very empty calories. And but then I use up my calories really quickly if I'm eating stuff like that. And so then I'm going, okay, well, I can eat a whole giant heaping bowl of steaming broccoli with butter all over it, and that's going to be the same amount of calories, and that's going to fill me up more. And so then I'm going, okay, well, what can I do? And I learned very quickly. I ate salad every day for lunch, and I had to, you know, all these different things. And oftentimes I would just do two eggs in the morning, and that was it. And then I was hungry, and I'm like, I'm hungry. And then I'd give myself a big dinner, and I'm not hungry anymore. And I'm like, all right, this is great. But it just came down to calories. I could spread it out however I wanted. I could eat whatever I wanted, but I learned very quickly. I was hungry if I ate pretty empty calories.
So there you have it. The Dan Rodriguez diet.
I lost 65 pounds, and I found about 20 of it back, 15 to 20 of it. It's still kind of,
it's just hanging out. Yeah. You can't, that's why I've got it strategically cut off right about there.
COVID's done us no favors. I read, I'm like, I'm doing okay. Cause I read that as an average across the US, Americans put on 2 pounds a month during COVID.
I guess I'm good then in that respect, cause I haven't gained any weight from the time that I started. But the fact of the matter is I was a fat ass when it started to begin with. So, you know, here or there, you got to bounce it out. Your kids' diets. Now, does Oak and Alder, do they eat good? I mean, is that, or is it just?
Those little boys eat like kings, and partly because there are restricted diets. Oak has a pretty severe gluten intolerance. The kid busts out in lives. And then any dairy that's not raw dairy, same problems. So we do raw milk from a local farm here in town, and we get raw milk cheese, and he's able to do those things. But for the most part, we eat paleo at home, and those boys eat everything that's put in front of them. And I have friends who have, I think we're just really lucky, because we have friends who have really, really picky kids. We exposed both of our boys to really unique foods, and like those kids will take, I mean, my 2-year-old will take a fistful of kimchi and shove it in his mouth. He loves it. And so like, it's like stuff like that. Like there were tons of fermented foods and things that a lot of kids don't eat. And it's just, I attribute it all to my wife, because she's the proponent for all of those things. And I get to reap the benefits of eating like that. And so, and we hunt, I bow hunt. And so, this last fall I shot 3 deer with my bow, and it filled the freezer with a ton. So there's a ton of meat, and we eat that's really lean red meat, and high quality protein. And so we do a lot. We eat a lot of stuff like that. We eat very few or little or to no grains, and lots of veggies and lots of meat in our house.
Oh, I want to come live there.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful. My wife's an amazing cook too. So, anybody listening, if you are looking for a good way to, like a lot of people think venison is not good.
Oh no.
And I think it's true for a lot of people for two reasons. One, it used to be like back in the day of kings and lords and things, that was peasant food. Like that's what the peasants went and shot because they couldn't afford beef. And so it was kind of frowned on upon for generations. And then now it's a little bit more of like the blue collar meat still, you know, it's like, those are the folks that are going out, the hicks that go out hunting and do this or that. But, you know, you find a good chef in some of these restaurants with wild game, and you can have some incredible meals. And so there's a guy named Hank Shaw. He's got a book, a venison cookbook called Buck Buck Moose. And, and it's like for elk and moose and venison. And, my goodness, that's changed the game for all of us. So we eat like, I eat like a king on a regular basis, because we just have amazing food.
When I used to live in Southern California and making our, you know, semi-annual pilgrimages to Vegas, there was a a shack on the side of the road in the middle of the desert with nothing around it that sold jerky. And venison jerky was what I always gravitated to. It is delicious. And now I want to go get some beef jerky.
Now hear this too, because I learned this. It also depends on what the deer are eating. So if you're hunting on or next to a big soy field, they're eating pesticide sprayed soy, and that's filled with estrogen and all those things. And that's what's going into your meat, and that's what's going into your body. And I lucked out. I got a friend who's there's an organic farm on one side, and he owns an organic apple orchard, and that's where I hunt. He lets me hunt his orchard. And so I'm eating these
apple fed.
It is sweet. It's like there's a slightly sweet flavor to the meat, and not like in a gross way, but like in just like, oh wow, there's something really different about that. And it's apples. And I read all about it. I was read about like it's their diet is your diet. So
right. Well, the old adage, you are what you eat, is true for deer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, I guess I am a lot of venison.
Well, let's not go hunt. See what I told you, man, about going off the rails on this podcast? We started out talking about dads and our kids, and now we're talking about losing weight and deers.
So I'm gonna get us back to the DC Talk thing real quick.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So DC Talk was my first concert when I was a kid.
What, really?
Yeah. So it was fantastic. They came out to my church, played a big show at the church. They were like the big Christian hip hop rock band, and yeah, it was awesome. So Kevin Max was like my favorite member of the band, right? Like probably the most talented dude I've ever seen. So I followed him through the years and ended up kind of becoming friends with him on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We're probably going to get him on the podcast. So yeah, he's got a new band out called Sad Astronauts Band. Okay. Check it out. It's like, it's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
What a name, Sad Astronauts.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Would you say that their music is out of this world?
But it's definitely out of this world.
Wait, wait. Sure.
Yeah. And it's not Christian music. So he's like totally not Christian anymore. Huh? Like it's very like he's got a whole new philosophy on like talking to him has been very interesting about it.
That effect on people.
Yeah.
Actually, I shouldn't say it like that. I should say some Christians can have that effect on people.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started. And on that note, it's not though. Yeah. I can only imagine, you know, how you grew up.
Yeah, and you know, it's different today, but you know, I wrote a song. Can I play another song for you guys?
Yeah, let's do one more song and then we're gonna wrap. We're actually gonna go a little bit over on this one, but that's okay with me if it's okay with you.
Fine with me. So this kind of goes back to that, a little bit of that conversation, because in this song I talk somewhat about my kids in this song, as well as my like the way I grew up. And like I told myself, I was like, I'm never gonna homeschool my kids. I'm not going to be the church going family dude. But we're homeschooling our kids. And for very different reasons than I had growing up, but that, you know, my wife's got her master's in education. She was an instructor at the University of Minnesota. She's going to be the most amazing homeschooling mom. And but you know, we as a family, we still go to church. It looks different than it did when I was growing up, and the approach is very different and whatnot. So but you know, we still kind of are there. And so what's funny about that is I was thinking about all those things, and I was realizing that I used to think I knew the answers to everything, and I used to think I had I was right about so many things. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing I don't really know anything.
None of us do.
Whatever I set my mind to when I was younger, I'm realizing I was usually wrong or at least off. And so this is one of my latest songs. This will be in my new record. This one's called "The Older I Get, The Less I Know." I grew up in a family with six kids in the middle, what a big old tree. And all our friends walked a different road. We went to church on Sunday and school at home. I used to hate it so long ago, but the older I get, the less I know. When I moved away, I got to see the world. I learned about the bottle and sun-dressed girls. I saw forgiveness as an old tall tale. And I thought if I don't make it on the radio, then I failed. And life was best if it never slowed. But the older I get, the less I know. Nothing is black or white, it's gray. Everything changes and that's okay. Everybody's left or right, it seems, but none of them are looking out for you and me. Just gotta be honest and give away love and walk to the beat of your own damn drum. Or maybe you should take everything that I'm saying and let it go. 'Cause the older I get, the less I know. They can call me no different still. 'Cause you can find my bones on a couple hills. I used to think I'd reap what I sow. But the older I get, the less I know. Nothing is black or white, it's gray. Everything changes and that's okay. Everybody's left or right, it seems, but none of them are looking out for you and me. Just gotta be honest and give away love and walk to the beat of your own damn drum. Or maybe you should take everything that I'm saying and let it go. 'Cause the older I get, the less I know. Big brown eyes staring up at me. They look like their mama and they're just as sweet. A million questions on their tongues. And so I make up an answer for everyone. They'll do the same when they're all grown. 'Cause the older we get, the less we know. The older I get, the less I know.
Ain't that the truth, man? Dan, you're a pretty friggin' talented guy, man.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind to say.
Yeah, well, it's the truth. And I'm a radio guy, and I know talent. Call me crazy. And that is good. And speaking of, there was a line in there that struck a chord with me. Probably not anyone else except a radio guy, but you want the line about being put on the radio and how important that was for you in there. Yeah. Well, when we're done with this podcast, we're going to exchange some information, and you're going to send me, hopefully, some of your music, and I will put it on my radio station, and you will be now put in rotation. Boom. Done.
Mom, I'm on the radio.
I've got a radio station, man. It's called Pirate Radio. It's streaming only, but that's the way of the future and the way of the now anyway.
I have a song about a pirate.
Oh, you even do your Johnny Depp impression pretty well right there.
I could do that for you. Hold on.
Where did the rum go?
Hey, listen, mate. If you, I can send you my song. It's about a pirate. It's about me. We can make it happen. Let's do it. We'll be on the radio.
You even got the mannerisms down, man. Well done. That was by my buddy Robbie. He does a bang up job. That was. Oh, dare I say better, Robbie? I'm sorry, but yeah, dude. I would love to. Let me give you. On the air, the premise of the radio station, although I don't adhere to the rules of corporate radio, so this really doesn't matter, but the premise of the station, it is pirate radio, tunes for living the dream. It's the music you would hear if you're sipping on a martini. You're sipping on a drink in paradise, whether you're in the Caribbean or South Florida, you're at a tiki bar, so lots of Buffett, lots of reggae, lots of paradise country, and I throw in a crap ton of classic rock and popular. It's a smorgasbord of everything, but that is the gist of what it, and the theme and all the stuff in between is very yar, it's pirate. But yeah, if there's anything that you know off the top of your head, a few of those songs, then, you know, I'll get them. We'll talk about that and I'll put them on there, man. Rotation. Like I said, I don't adhere to any rules. Corporate radio is going to say, we're going to play 500, 600 songs in a playlist. To me, that isn't right. You got to play a whole heck of a lot more music on a radio station. You know, who cares if it's not heard of? The whole point of radio is so it can be heard.
Well, I love it. That's what I love about like a lot of these, you know, streaming radio stations is that a lot of these curators and the folks like yourself, harkens back to the old format for radio where it was the power laid. The power was laid. The power was with the DJ.
Yeah.
And you, if the DJ liked your song, they would spin it and they had the power to make or break you. And there was something special about that. But now everything's corporate and everything's,
yeah,
and nobody has a say.
I did it for 20 years, man. And don't get me wrong, I loved that job and working for those radio stations. It wouldn't be where I am today without it. But at the same time, the older I get, in this case, the more I did know. So, you know, I decided to start my own thing. But, yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. With that being said, Nick Martin, do you have anything else for us?
Got nothing else. That music was amazing. Stoked. Can't wait for the episode to come out. Can't wait for people to see the new video. I've seen the new video.
So. Yeah, I have seen the new video. I forgot. He sent it to me a few weeks back when we actually booked you. So it's neither here nor there. Mr. Dan Rodriguez. I want to say thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule. The little bit of time that you do get to spend at home now that you're back in touring and doing shows with your kids, you allowed us to come inside your home and we get to find out all about you and your role and your journey as a father. It's much appreciated, man.
Yeah, I wish I could invite you to my house. This is my studio. I'm four blocks from my house.
Okay.
But eventually we just sold our house. We're trying to move out to the country. I want to build a studio and a pole barn. And so it will be that way. It will be that way soon.
All right. Well, we will, we always ask if we would love to have you back on one day in the future. And maybe that day in the future will be in said new studio in the pole barn.
It will be. Let's hope.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on Dadcast, Dan Rodriguez. Everyone check out. Oh yeah. Socials. Where can everyone who has never heard of you, check out all things Dan Rodriguez.
Probably DanRodriguezMusic.com is the best place to go because then you can find my Instagram, Dan Rodriguez Music, and Twitter and Facebook, and everything's under Dan Rodriguez Music, so it should be easy to find.
There it is. And go catch a show if he's ever in your area. You will not be disappointed, obviously, if you just watched this episode. Everyone else, thanks for hanging out and joining us on Dadcast. We will see you next week. See ya.
Cheers.